and welcome to Let's Talk Diz, a show that gives you everything you need to know to help make your Disney vacation as magical as can be in just about 20 minutes. I'm your host, Jeff Coviello. With me each week is Disney Master Sandy from Easy Diz by Instant Impressions Travel Services. Sandy, how are you this week?
I am doing great. How are you?
I'm doing great. The weather up here is finally turning. It looks like we are turning out of winter up here in the Northeast, and I know that you were down in Orlando where the weather certainly turned while you were there. You were down there to experience this year's Flower and Garden Festival in Epcot.
That is so true, and it's spring in Orlando, so you know it was an average chilly day of anywhere between 77 and 81.
That sounds great.
So, you know, just as you're preparing your vacation time, again, this is the first week in March, and it was 77 to 81 during the day. So it only warms up from here.
It's awesome. All right. So the Flower and Garden Festival, as you said, we are recording this in the first week of March. Why don't you give us the dates of when this festival runs?
It's February 28th through May 27th, 2024. And I will say it's a big shift that we're seeing now. It's kind of the normal festival length, just 90 days. When we had those taste of kind of versions of festivals during coming out of COVID and even last year to make sure everybody could see things. Last year's Flower and Garden was the longest by far they have ever had. It was 126 days.
Yikes.
This year, it's just 90, and I think what it's going to start to do is, while Epcot will always be the festival park for us, you know, when we did this show last year, I talked about that there weren't even, like, two entire full months that Epcot didn't have festivals. So now, May 27th, festival for Flower and Garden will end, and June and July and most of August will be festival-free. It'll be just regular summertime in Epcot.
People won't know what to do with themselves. They'll be like, but where's the concert series? Where's the, oh wait, no, that'll still be there. So it'll be fine. There'll still be concerts. Don't worry.
Plenty of good things to enjoy.
Yeah, it's all good. All right, so give us a quick overview of this particular festival.
We're still waiting for the festival part of the festival. You know, each festival, as you said, has that concert series. It's got a name that fits the festival, but I wouldn't necessarily say that the performers are festival specific. We've got the food booths, so they're always festival specific. And then this one, obviously, as we go all over Epcot, an incredible amount of flowers and topiaries and gardens, well more than we normally see. But we're still missing those classes that I love doing because, as we know, Epcot's still got some construction going on. And the big item under construction right now is that brand new festival center that we're going to see. So I can't wait to have that open. Hopefully we'll see it for food and wine. We'll have to kind of wait and see, but that'll bring that final element back to all the festivals.
Well, and it'll be interesting to see how that space is utilized and how it looks different based on the festivals that we got here. So it appears that this is hopefully the last Flower and Garden Festival we'll have without it. As you said, we're hoping.
I think so. I can make one very safe bet on the festival center. It will include a large gift shop area.
Oh, shocking. That is so surprising that there will be.
You know, I'm thinking it's a safe bet I can make there.
Listen, that's why you're the master, right? All right. So talk to me about what's new in the festival this year.
There's always a new entry area. So when you enter Epcot from the front of the park, that initial huge festival display is always filled with new characters. This year, there's a bunch of new topiaries, but also the very first singing topiary.
Mm.
And then one thing that kind of had me going from the initial description, the new PB&J garden. And yes, that's peanut butter and jelly.
I don't even know what to ask about that. it sounds so incredibly unique and strange. But why don't we, if it's okay with you, because you mentioned it a couple of times already, including one that sings, why don't we start with the topiaries? Because that's always something that really, really strikes my fancy when I go during this time of year. They're really, really beautiful. They're really, really intricate, and they're fun to look at. If at nothing else, they're just fun to look at. So let's start with those.
I love them, and I just have such great respect for the entire horticulture team. You look at them, and you just know the amount of work that's gone into them. And it's incredible how they design them, how they care for them. This year, there are 24 unique locations with almost 80 topiaries in total.
Wow.
Massive amount of work.
Yeah, that's crazy.
The opening site, as I mentioned, is new. And this year it is, of course, for Disney Wish. Usually we see it being their newest characters. So Asha, Valentino, and Star are there. You may remember last year's area for the opening is now moved to that area as you're walking into World Showcase. That's how they kind of move the displays around. So there's always a couple of new spots, but then we see things kind of moved over. But what really had me going this year was the new Groot topiary.
Hmm. Where did they have
Very
that?
Cool. He is their first singing topiary.
Does he just sing I Am Groot over and over and over again?
He actually has songs from the movie that he sings.
Oh, okay.
And I will say I was there, obviously, for the opening, and I hadn't seen anything about it singing. And I kind of stumbled across it the first day as I was going through, and they had a photo pass photographer there taking pictures. The singing is not constant.
Okay.
And I was standing there taking some pictures and kind of checking it out. And all of a sudden it's Groot holding up, you know, that old style cassette.
Sure.
As one of the photo pass photographers said, anybody have their pencil handy to kind of get it moving again? And all of a sudden you kind of hear the cogs turn and he starts singing.
That's fun.
And when the song is over, it's like nothing ever happened. And so when I asked the photographer about it, he's like, I don't know. Today is the first day. And we kept trying to check it out. So day two, I went back and, you know, I was going to just stand there and wait it out. There were two managers that came by and I said to them, you know, do you happen to know how often Groot sings? I think they had been wondering what I had already been drinking at 9 o'clock in the morning. Because they looked at me and they said, what do you mean? And I said, well, I was here yesterday and Groot sang. And I'm told it's kind of random, but I was wondering. They said, what do you mean Groot sang? I said, well, you know, the tape made the noise and off it went. The manager couldn't have been nicer. He says to me, hold on, let me check it out for you. So I will share with all of you this insider tip. Groot sings on the hour, 20 minutes after, and 40 minutes after.
Okay.
So it was about 9:12 when I had asked that manager. And both of them waited with me. They're like, do you mind? We want to see this. By the time he actually sang at 9:20, there was quite a crowd. And again, because it was still early in the morning, I will say that there were probably 25 of us waiting for him to sing. And out of the 25, more than half were cast. They're like, we heard this rumor. So it was very cool to see. And even I went back by it a third day. And it's funny, you know, the photo pass photographers have now been let in on the trick. So they stop the line so that everybody can watch it sing and there aren't people in front of it.
That's
but
cool.
Just kind of watch everybody as it's getting ready to go is pretty cool.
Any other topiaries that you thought was, you know, interesting to look at this year?
There's a new Coco display, and Coco and Miguel, they've really worked on enhancing the topiaries from the way that I remember them when I was younger. You know, if you kind of go back, any of you have old pictures or Google for old pictures, you'll see that topiaries really were ivory leaves, kind of, you know, that way that they fasten them together. And it was always that plain greenery. But they've worked a lot. I had talked about it last year as well, with the different kinds of mosses and adding succulents and coloring. And so they did a great job with that with Coco and Miguel. This year, they also had more succulent topiaries than ever. And when I had first heard about it last year, I have to say I was kind of a little stuck on the concept and whether I really thought it would work or not. But they have some color to them. It really makes them a beautiful thing to look at from a distance. And you don't even realize right away that they are succulents. I think what it also does, again, we know it's hot in Florida. It makes them easier to maintain and to always look new and fresh. They did Figment this year out of all succulents, and he was just amazing looking. So definitely check out over on our YouTube channel. We've got a video of all 80 topiaries, so you can see them. Some of them we did close up so you could see the succulents. The other thing that I like is there are a couple of them that have a light up element. So you will see the light during the day, but then go back and see them at night, like the pair of Cogsworth and Lumiere. It's just so cool looking to see them daytime and night.
How did the topiaries, you know, I guess maybe interact, or were they impacted by the construction that's going on? Because we know there's still a ton of that going on.
You know, if you're somebody like me and you've got your little festival guidebook and you want to see them all, the walls right now, if you're coming from the front of the park to the back and you just got off of the Figment ride, you can no longer kind of walk along that waterway there to make your way back towards World Showcase. So they've got a topiary in this area that literally only hosts a topiary and then has lots of construction walls. And then they turn you around. You've got to kind of go all the way back towards Soaring before you can head into the back of the park.
So the flow has been significantly impacted over there as far as going from Journey into Imagination, you know, back into the World Showcase.
Yes. You know, we finally have the flow in the middle of the park working now that they've opened that. And we've added a little bit of a barrier elsewhere. So,
of course, progress takes time.
Yes. Well, you know, I'm optimistic that we won't need to at any point rename Epcot the Wall Park, and that they will all ultimately come down.
So that's the topiaries. Obviously, Flower and Garden is the name of this particular festival. So talk to us about the gardens.
26 gardens. Some of them are bigger than others. Some of them you definitely spend more time looking at. I think there's just so many different things to look at. One of my favorites, not new this year, was the Fairy House Garden. Mm-hmm. All the little teeny houses done out of flowers. Really cool looking. They always do a great job in the UK. They have the Tea Caddy Garden, the whole area behind that tea shop. They also do a free, that word that we don't hear often, tour every day at 1 and 3:30 p.m. It is limited space, so you want to sign up as soon as you get into Epcot so that you can get one of those spots. And if you can't get that spot or the time doesn't work for you, you can ask them for the brochure and do it as a self-guided tour.
Okay.
But it's always fun to see.
Yeah, that's fun.
One of the things that they also didn't rename but refurbished, thankfully, was the Prehistoric Garden. I kind of slammed it a couple of years ago about being one of the worst gardens that I've seen.
Okay.
And they really kind of reimagined it, upped the game a little bit. We no longer have little plastic toy dinosaurs in it. So they've worked on that one. And then this year, they've always started to use that space on the bridges as you walk from Future World over to World Showcase. The last couple of years, on the right there, they've had the Scentsy Fragrance Garden, so you can smell all the different things. And again, obviously, sponsored by Scentsy. Mm-hmm. And new this year, as I mentioned earlier, they have the PB&J Garden, sponsored, obviously, by none other than Smucker's.
Okay.
It was super cute, honestly. It was a lot of plants, flowers, and then all these little fun facts posted throughout. Some of them were corny little jokes. Why does bread love to garden? Because it's made of flour.
Right, yeah, sure.
Or, again, obviously, if you're an Uncrustable fan, you know that there are strawberry Uncrustables and grape Uncrustables. So they have a little fun fact. Strawberry secret. Did you know that strawberries really aren't berries? They're part of the rose family. And so that garden area is set up to be like strawberries. You know, just a little fun place to kind of go through. And I think because all of the signs had Uncrustables on them, kids obviously got a little bit of knowledge from it. It talked about, you know, things you want to know about growing fruits and vegetables and plants and peanuts and how all of that works. So a good little educational spot for you as well.
The edutainment. I love it. It's quintessential Epcot. That's part of the jam. I love it. Pun intended, part of the jam. All right. So let's talk about some extras, right? Because I know though that's always really been a part of your favorite part of festival life. So what do we have?
My favorite part, honestly, is always the concerts. They do such a good job with free concerts, three of them nightly, 5:30, 6:45, and 8 p.m. And a lot of people get confused about the concert times because, again, every season pretty much has something. Candlelight has unique times and impacts the fireworks times. The right. other festivals, the 8 o'clock concert still allows fireworks to occur by 9 p.m. A lot of the old favorites are back this year on the schedule. Rick Springfield, the Commodores, the Pointers, Flock of Seagulls, Plain White Tees, Herman's Hermits. So there's definitely a good mix of music. Some new people on the scene this year, Crowder, Lit, Raul Acosta. Again, they kind of try and hit all different things. You can do a dining package that'll get you in the front of the theater, or you can go on the standby line, just like all of the concerts or the candlelight. The more popular the person, the longer the wait is going to be. But the other bit of good news is that the concerts are outdoors. So even if you don't want to wait online and get a seat in the theater, or you only want to hear a couple of minutes of it, you can be walking by in Epcot, you know, through that section where America is, and hear the entire concert. It's not like only the people sitting get to hear it. So if you've got a younger one that you're not sure is going to sit, it's a great way to kind of keep them in the stroller and get a little bit of the concert fun in.
Nice. What else?
Behind the Seeds tour, that's over in Living with the Land, and they always add something extra for the festival. So you can see that whether you're doing the ride or doing that backstage tour. This year, they had a special table set up in the garden as you're going through on the boat for Alice's tea party. And again, as backstage tours go, it is one of the most inexpensive ones. It is non-Disney, unlike Utilidor tunnels and things like that. Highly educational, all about the plant life and what things Disney does to make advances in science there. Disney also has a really unique relationship with the Purple Martin birds. They do a lot to help that species and working with them as they come and go with the seasons. They've got a whole thing over by Animal Kingdom for them. But during this festival, every Wednesday at 1 p.m., they do a special talk about the Purple Martins so that you can learn more about them.
That's fun.
And one of my other favorites is Butterfly Landing, the butterfly house that you can go into. Everything from watching hundreds, if not thousands, of butterflies flying around to seeing the process of butterflies in their chrysalis and coming out. Again, learning about also if you wanted to attract butterflies in your garden. They've got all different kinds of plant life in there and flowering. And signs explaining what kinds of butterflies it attracts, what climates it works in. So if you're looking to do something like that, it's neat. I will say this is the first time that they've kind of changed the flow of the butterfly garden. In theory, I think it's great because it allows more people in there. It kind of used to have a path and you went in, you followed the path, and the path led you from beginning to end, and you did not really stray.
Right.
They somehow made a middle pathway, which, again, allowed for more people, but created a little bit of confusion when it got kind of crowded in there.
Okay. So something to keep in mind, especially, I mean, that's something that we do every time we go because it's so cool and unique. The kids love it. So that's good. It's a good tip. Any other extras?
One of the extras that they always seem to do in Epcot is some kind of kids scavenger hunt where you can pay a small fee, find the things, and redeem your prize. So Spike the Bee is hidden throughout Epcot, and you can participate in the Spike scavenger hunt.
Okay. So we've gone this far in the show, and we mentioned it once that you think it's coming. We haven't talked about merchandise. These festivals are usually chock full of merchandise. So what do we see?
There is certainly no shortage of merchandise here, because there's two types of merchandise, really. There's lots of extra festival booths that are different companies that you don't normally find in Disney that opt to purchase a festival booth. And then there's festival merchandise. And for festival merchandise, they really kind of went into two categories this year. There's what you would expect to be festival merchandise. Those t-shirts, sweatshirts, hats, mugs, anything you can imagine with this year's logo and date for Flower and Garden Festival. They've got a really unique butterfly logo that they're using on a lot of their stuff, like a butterfly made out of lots of individual flowers. So it kind of comes together to create that. But also, kind of the second theme to the festival is Orange Bird. We know, you know, there's a great following behind Orange Bird. So if you head to the Odyssey, it is all dedicated to Orange Bird. They redid all of the windows, have Orange Bird artwork in them. The counter is open, selling all orange refreshments. And if you opt to sit in the Odyssey, which has a small gift shop in it and lots of tables, they've redone all of the walls in that room for Orange Bird and special photo ops. So that's a lot of fun.
So I can't believe we've gotten this far in a festival show and we haven't talked about food. We're going to talk about food, but the reason why we left it to the end is, to your point, as you've said to me before we started, there's not a whole lot new to talk about as far as the food goes for this festival.
There's not. And you know what? I'm really okay with that.
Right.
And again, I am very fortunate that I am at all of the festivals and they're annually. Not everybody is. So while there's always a couple of new things to try, I think they've really tried to leave things so that people who can only go every second or every third year still get to do all those experiences. But again, if you look at the history of this festival, 15 years ago, it didn't have food booths. That was only food and wine.
Correct.
So I'm good with food not being the focus. Not to say that there aren't plenty of food booths and plenty of options.
I'm
but
sure there are, yes.
I definitely feel like I've done a lot of them in the past. Again, my big tip for you, a couple of tips if you're all about the food booths. Remember that even though Epcot most days is opening at 8:30 for on-site guests and 9 o'clock for all park guests, all food booths, whether they're in the front of the park or in World Showcase, do not open till 11 a.m. And I will tell you that at 11 a.m., every one of them had a line.
Just banging them down the doors. if they had doors, they'd be banging them down.
People thought they'd be first. I went by one booth at about 10:45. I think there had to be 25 people online already.
Sure.
So if you're literally not going to be first, I recommend you wait it out a little bit. Most of the booths, for some reason, with the exception of France, I guess I shouldn't say I don't understand because, like everybody else, I love your great cheese and bread options. France seems to have a line no matter when I go past.
Sure.
But all of the others, if I go by and there's a big line, I'll do something else and come back. And the lines really definitely ebb and flow.
Was there anything new or anything that you want to mention before we try to wrap it up?
Just the last thing, when we talk about food booths, if you pick up a festival booklet, there's always some special festival scavenger hunt, so to speak.
Right.
This year it was called the Garden Graze Menu.
Okay.
By any 5 items that are plant-based, that's what a lot of their focus was on this year. There's 1 or 2 that aren't plant-based, but they're mostly, that's what they're telling you they all are. And be able to present the stamps in your booklet and get a free edible treat. So that's a nice thing to try. The other thing to know, especially if you're more local or someone that happens to be at the festival two different times during the season. It's any five items. It's not necessarily five different items. So if you're a family of five and you all want your own Impossible Farmhouse meatball, you can get five stamps all for the meatball and then get your free treat.
Got it. Okay. That's good to know. All right. Well, listen, we are about to wrap up this week. So anything that we haven't covered that you think we should mention before we say goodbye?
I'll just say that, you know, the tip I give on all festivals, if you can avoid Epcot Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, you'll find it easier to get to the food booths, easier to get to the pictures, and a lot less crowded at the concerts.
So something to definitely touch base with your travel specialist about when you are planning your vacation. Sandy, thanks for taking the time this week to go down, obviously, experience it as we know you do each and every year. And thanks for sharing your experience with us so that we are informed when we visit. Have a great week.
You too.
And that's a wrap this week on Let's Talk Dis. If anyone you know could benefit from this or any show, please share on your Facebook and Instagram for other Disney fans to enjoy. And don't forget to reach out to the folks at Easy Dis by Instant Impressions Travel Services for any Disney destination planning. Make it a great week, and as always, keep making memories.